Riding the Trees. Along the orchard road, four old maples are strung with blue tubes, like electrodes stuck to their chests. At their backs, a legion of apple trees hunch, and grapevines are whittled to walking sticks. But the sap is running, and today a man harnessed to the top of our oak swings while winds thrash our woods. 100 feet up and swaying, wildness rakes bare branches in and out of sight through my kitchen skylight. He hollers down to his companion, "Dead hanger." The saw rips, then "baby bouncer," and a 3-foot section drops, thwack, on the ground. The sun's a milky gesture, and snow chases the wind, but the sap is running, and small switches in finch feathers have thrown to gold. The sap is running in the maple trees. Every atom of the body feels news.
Thank you, Marion. That was beautiful. You're both poets and you're both organizers of the Kalamazoo Poetry Festival. So, Marion, beginning with you, tell us a little bit about what your role is with the Kalamazoo Poetry Festival and tell us a little bit about you as a poet.
Oh, thanks. I just joined the board of the Kalamazoo Poetry Festival this year, which means that I really wasn't a big part of the very first Kalamazoo Poetry Festival. But I'm pleased to be on the board now, and I'm co-chairing on the planning committee with Marcia Meyer.
And Marcia, tell us about your role in the Kalamazoo Poetry Festival. I believe you were one of the originals, the organizers?
I am one of the old-timers.
Of 2 years.
Of 2 years. Yes, we started back in 2008, actually, with George Martin and Kathy Jennings, and we just were fostering the idea of getting a festival together, honoring our poets, our local poets, and local poetry organizers and organizations. And then our festival came about last year, and it was, we thought, a great success, and a lot of people were wondering about if we were going to do it again. And so we collected wonderful poets like Marion onto the steering committee. And so now we're going to be having alternative years and major years every other year. So, but it's been a great, great opportunity for me to meet some wonderful people and to work with a really great steering committee.
Now, Marion, about you as a poet, how long have you been writing poetry, and you have some books to your name as well?
I do, thanks. I don't know how long I've been writing poetry, but certainly 20 years, I suppose. But this Kalamazoo area is rich with a wealth of poets who are willing to help you out. So through taking classes over the years in Kalamazoo and connecting with critique groups, I've been able to put together first a chapbook and then this full-length collection that I just read a poem from. It's called The Clock of the Long Now. And then I just published a second chapbook this year.
And Marcia, you've been known in the community for a long time as event planner extraordinaire at Portage District Library, one of the places that whenever I've been privileged to attend an event, you pack the room. But you're also a poet. So tell us about that and how that is that go hand in hand with being a librarian?
I think so. For me, it does anyway. And I don't write as much as Marion and many of the other wonderful poets in Kalamazoo and Portage. But I've been privileged to meet so many wonderful people who are writers, including you. And it's been so much fun. My husband always says, "You're going to work and you call that work." But it's been a privilege for 35 years to be doing this. I started out with a Di Seuss class and Donna Eflin after that. And it's just, I've met some wonderful, wonderful people. And I have an appreciation of writing because I've taken the classes. I think it really helps me, and also it introduces me to these poets.
Now, the first year that you had the Kalamazoo Poetry Festival, it was nationwide, if not beyond. You had poets coming in from all kinds of places. This time you're focusing on the community, correct?
Correct.
And tell us about how you went about that. You've got some wonderful organizations lined up, and each one, and maybe I can go through this list and you can tell me what makes them unique, because they're very unique, each one, and this is all-encompassing of the community. I get the sense that you've really worked hard to get everybody included. And it started with the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts, with a Second Sight / Insight 2. Tell us about that, either one of you.
Elaine Seaman was the person who put that together, and it's a remarkable exhibit that's still continuing. She pulled collected artworks from the KIA that were in the archives, and then poets were asked to write a response to one piece of art that Elaine assigned them to. And now in the gallery, the poems are hung with the art, and it's an extraordinary show. So one of the things that we will have at our celebration of community poets is the KIA show will be represented by four of those people who have responded to the art. And during our reading, we will project the art that they wrote about behind them so that the audience can see the art as they hear the poems read.
And the next that I saw on the list was the Combat Veterans Writing Group, which I believe started at Portage District Library.
It did, with Margaret Van Steinen. She was looking for a place where she could invite veterans of any war to come in and talk about and write about their experiences. It wasn't necessarily poetry, it could be anything, but a place where they could self-express in a safe and comfortable environment. And we are so grateful that they have, and they have had readings at the library. This is the first time that they've gone outside of the group. They've done readings at Western, WMU, and also at the library, but this is the first time that they've gone outside, and it's a wonderful group of World War II, mainly World War II and Vietnam War.
Writing as therapy,
Writing as therapy, and they're getting more and more people coming in from, younger people coming in from Afghanistan, Iraqi.
That should be very powerful.
It is.
New Issues, Poetry, and Press, which I believe is that section of the festival will be with Gail Martin.
Absolutely.
You tell us more about that, Marion?
Well, we wanted to have represented among the organizations our colleges and universities in this area. So Western is going to have New Issues Press present. They'll be selling their collection of books. And Gail Martin is the featured reader for New Issues Press. So she'll be reading from her book called Begin Empty-Handed.
And she's gotten some awards for that.
She certainly has.
It's a wonderful book.
It is.
And Peace Pizzazz, what is that about?
Actually, that came about when I met a representative from Peace Pizzazz and told him about the poetry festival. And he said, well, you know, we do writing for Peace Pizzazz. I've heard of them, but I didn't know they did writing. And so we invited another representative to come to a meeting, and she was so excited about having them part of this. And this is going to be a duo of two students, talking about rapping on peace.
Kalamazoo Book Arts Center, they do wonderful things, too.
They do. And Jeff Abishir is instrumental at the Book Arts Center. I took a class from him, as a matter of fact, in learning how to put together a book. It's terrific. Jeff is going to read a poem, first in Italian and then in English, which I think will be very interesting to hear.
That's always fun. And you mentioned, Marion, that colleges, universities are involved. You also have something with KBCC and Kalamazoo College arranged.
Yeah. I'm a proud emeritus from KVCC. I taught there for years. And they're running, they have run a student competition called the Ned Foskey Poetry Prize for students. And the winner of that will be reading his poem. His name is Frederick Germain. He's the first place winner.
Kalamazoo Civic Theater, I imagine the actors will be wonderful readers.
They're going to do an ensemble performance, which I'm excited about. It's a Lewis Carroll poem people might be familiar with, Jabberwocky.
Oh, yeah.
And four of their actors are going to perform Jabberwocky.
Oh, that'll be good. And the Kalamazoo Gay Lesbian Resource Center, what are they bringing?
They were part of the program last year, and they have put it out to their population, to their clients, to their people that are part of their organization, to do some poetry about their experiences. So last year we had the Jay did it, who is head of the organization, and he did a marvelous job of performance poetry. We're trying to get a mix of performance poetry, experiential poetry, and off-the-page poetry. And this will probably be a performance piece. We don't know quite who is going to be yet, but we're looking forward to their representation again.
And then Marion Houston, the roving poet?
Yes. She's just a wonderful person and has been so helpful on our planning committee. She's written a wonderful book of poetry called On the Street. And as a result of her experience writing that book and reading that book, she's met a number of what she calls very quiet people who've come up to her and say, I write poetry. And so three people that Marianne has selected are going to read, and they're voices that we don't often hear.
So is it fair to say that at this festival we may be hearing many old favorites of the community, but we may hear completely new voices as well?
I think the balance will be more toward the new voices, to tell you the truth, which I think
exciting.
We're going to be very excited about. And at the organization, at the event, I'm sorry, we're going to have tables for each organization to promote what they do. So part of this celebration is to really shine a light on the good work that they're all doing in their organizations through this poetry event.
And Black Arts and Cultural Center.
They were part of the program again last year, so we're working with Yolanda, who is executive director of the Black Arts and Cultural Center, and DC Lavender, who was our finale last year and took down the house, is coming back, along with Darris Gardner. And that's going to be some really red-hot performance poetry, and we really are pleased to have them part of this. Because it's a kind of poetry that some of us don't hear on a regular basis. So not only are we bringing new voices, but we're new types of poetry, performance poetry, to the masses, in a sense. So we're going to have some of traditional poetry, performance poetry, theatrical poetry, poetry in all walks of life. And that's kind of what we want to say here, too, is everyone can be a poet. Everyone kind of is a poet in many ways. And it's a way of self-expression that all of us have at our fingertips.
So poetry can be a way to build bonds in the community.
Absolutely. Building understanding. And we've learned a lot from these organizations. I've learned a lot from them. I didn't know all that they did in the community. And as Marion said, we want to shine a light on all the good work that they're doing. And illuminate to everyone the opportunities that are out there that sometimes get lost.
And FIRE is going to be involved?
They are. Denise Miller at FIRE and Donna Eflin did a program last year, did a really neat performance piece. They are going to be doing it. I don't know who this year. They have a lot of people in their organization that perform on Fridays. They have a lot of performances. And so they're still in the process of picking out who that might be, but yes. And that's a wonderful venue to try if you haven't.
Hispanic American Council.
Yes, isn't that interesting? We have a reader from the Hispanic American Council named Elizabeth Cruz, and she is going to be reading a poem in Spanish. We hope to have an English translation at the event so that those who are not Spanish speakers can understand the poem as well. I also might add that we are going to, throughout the event, have a signer for the deaf community so that everybody can come and enjoy the poetry.
Yeah. And Education for the Arts, what are they bringing to the table?
They are going to have a rapper. We wanted to include youth in this particular event, and we have quite a few. And so we worked with Brian Zucker to get into the classes and see who they might have that might want to perform. And they have somebody who is going to be doing that. And
Josh Hageman.
Josh Hageman. Thank you. And so we want to include them more and more in this event. Because, again, they have a lot of talented youth, and a lot of times we don't get to hear them. So this way we can put them out front and center.
So you've chosen April, which makes sense. It's the National Poetry Month, and this will be the event free and open to the public on April 16th, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts, Celebration of Community Poets. What can both of you say, not just as organizers, but as poets? Why is poetry important? What does poetry bring that prose may not?
Well, I think, first of all, what I appreciate about poetry, it's concise. It's very short, and so a lot is condensed in terms of emotional feeling or image or brief narrative in a short space of time. I think poetry affects us in the same way music does. I think poetry has music. It lingers in the mind, certain phrases, certain rhythms, particular ways of putting words together that create a crystallized image. I think we can appreciate that very much. And when you come to a poetry reading, another thing I might say is poetry is short. And so if you don't like that poem, just hang on. In about 30 seconds, there'll be another one, and it'll be completely
kind
different.
Kind of like Michigan weather.
Exactly.
What about you, Marcia? Why does poetry speak to you?
Well, personally, it's accessible. I mean, it's pretty frightening. I mean, as a librarian, you'd think, well, you know, she might not be that frightened with short stories and novels, but to do it, I think it is a way that many people can access their emotions. And as Marian said, I think it is very close to all the arts. It is musical. It can be painterly. It can be performance. It really touches raw emotion. And again, it's can be easy to hear and easy to read. It can be so many different things. And it's, again, very accessible both to understanding as far as appreciating a small piece or go to the next one, as Marian said. But it's, I think also it is a way that people of all ages, from kindergarten, first graders, we hear phenomenal poems. Nobody wants to follow the first and second graders' poems. I think it's available for all ages.
It's interesting that you talk about accessibility and easy to hear. At the same time, it seems that somewhere along the way, a lot of people get intimidated by poetry and think of it as difficult and dense, and some of it certainly can be. Somewhere, whether it's in education or what, I don't know, we enjoy Shel Silverstein and Dr. Seuss as, mm-hmm. as children, and then at some point we become intimidated. Do you have any perspective on why and how to change that?
I think so. I used to teach poetry to seventh graders and eighth graders, And I know they were intimidated. Unless the poem was very narrative and told a story, they had the sense that they there were unseen levels that they had to work their way through to understand meaning and symbolism. And it seemed to become a puzzle that they didn't want to have to tackle or they might get wrong. So I think if poetry could be taught with less emphasis on figuring it out and just allowing it to wash over you and say, what resonates for you or what image sticks for you or what do you like, which words, which lines, then I think you can begin to just appreciate it and not worry about it like a puzzle.
Fall in love first, and then you can learn more of the rules. What do you think, Marcia, on this topic?
I just wish I would have had Marion for my teacher.
Yeah. So anything more that you want to add about the Kalamazoo Poetry Festival? Is this unique? Have you had role models in other cities? Are other places doing this? Or is this one of the unique things about Kalamazoo?
I think it is somewhat unique in Kalamazoo, and I've had people come up to me and tell me that, especially the diversity, the fact that we are highlighting a lot of these organizations that you wouldn't normally think of as poetry organizations is unusual. I think the number of established and emerging poets in a community is highly unusual in a town our size. I think we have a very literary, a very committed, not only talented poets, but very generous. They are very generous to have workshops to share their talents and their expertise and their time. So I think we are unusual in that way.
I would like to add that because so much goes on in Kalamazoo related to poetry, that we often events go by and we all don't even know they're going on. So the Kalamazoo Poetry Festival's website, we hope to become sort of a bulletin board as we go forward so that people who are interested in poetry, where they might take a class, who's published something, who's doing a reading, what's happening in town regarding performance poets or open mics, we hope to develop our website so it becomes that bulletin board.
And Marcia, if you could read some of your work.
I would be happy to. This came off of a slothful 2 weeks in Hawaii. February 18th. Time crumbles into dusk. Crisp brown leaves flutter rhythmically outside my studio window. Whiskey-smooth jazz stirs from another room. Nothing else moves. An absence of thought lingers, a settling hollow coolness. I wait for a tremor, a lead, hypnotized by the stillness, the guilt for having spent an entire day pondering nothing but living artfully.
Thank you to you both.
Thank you.
Another organization that is going to be represented at our celebration is Friends of Poetry, which we're pleased about. Friends of Poetry has been in our community for 30 years. Elizabeth Kurlikowski is currently president, and they do all kinds of wonderful poetry events for this community, among them Poetry That Ate Our Ears, a competition for young writers, and Artifactory, in which people submit poems about Kalamazoo or the museum. And at our celebration, we're going to have readers who have had their poems submitted and accepted for Artifactory this year.